Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. in the state of absolute freedom. I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, hello everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Letting Go from Off the Grid into the Heart by yours truly. I hope today finds you in a good spirit, optimistic, inspired, humorous, and wise, because I believe these are just some of the many virtues and qualities that we will need to survive this thing called life. We can either live feeling that we're flying above it all, or we can live like we're just crawling on our knees and we see all the small little stuff that's on the ground versus the beautiful stars and clouds and the sky and the moon and the sun. So where do you live the most? Upwards, forward, and progress? You know, are you thinking more about the progression of your life, or are your thoughts trapped somewhere in the past, somewhere in the old, something that is still, you just can't seem to get over it. You can't seem to let go what they said, didn't say, should have said, did, didn't do, should have done. By now, we all know that's a waste of time and energy. But for the life of us, we struggle with just getting out of that energy. And this is why I feel the connection to Source is such a vital role. The other day I was sharing a course at the Meditation Museum in Tysons, Virginia. Enjoyed it. It's been a long time I've actually conducted the Raj Yoga Meditation course. And it was such a beautiful experience for me because I went back to my early days of my spiritual journey, and I journeyed through my middle days, and then I ended up exactly where I am. And something came out where, you know, when you have a cup of coffee and your cream is mixed into the coffee, how do you separate the cream if you don't want it in there? It's almost impossible. And in Indian cuisine, there is a food item called paneer. And you can actually make paneer from milk. You boil the milk and then you add either vinegar or lemon juice to that. And then the milk will just separate into curd and the water will be on one side. And so the whole answer to that was that if we have remembrance of Source, then all the stuff that seems to have us trapped in our own selves starts to separate. And for some reason, you know, limitations of character or the kryptonite of the consciousness goes away, and I actually begin to live in my supreme state, in my state of worthiness and divinity. So it's never quite easy to step out of your past, but some of us actually have been able to achieve that. For example, our guest that we're about to talk with, Dr. Dorothy Martin Neville, is a PhD, a keynote speaker, author, consultant, and master coach, and frequent radio podcast, and a television guest. Now, she also has served as the past president of the National Speakers Association in Connecticut. I had a friend of mine that says it's Connecticut, not Connecticut. Dr. Dorothy is also a psychotherapist with over 25 years of experience. Today, whether supporting the individual clients in recognizing and living their purpose, or supporting CEOs in creating a culture of purpose within their organization. As a founder of four companies, Dr. Dorothy brings first-hand knowledge of the challenges facing those who want to live and work in a culture that feeds rather than drains them. This is huge. She has supported highly successful women from all levels of success, Park Avenue, New York City, to a small town in Maine. We welcome Dr. Dorothy Martin Neville to the America Meditating Radio. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you so very much.
Good morning.
Good morning. What a wonderful meditation to start the day.
Isn't it? I like it too. When I'm having one of my little yucky days, that one always seems to just remind me and puts me right back in connection. Well, your friend Dr. Tara Lynn Curry had updated us about you, and she gave us very high reviews. And it's interesting because my mother, who was orphaned at five, she came from the background of an orphanage, and she had been in many, many orphanages, for example, and foster homes. And, you know, Dorothy, I'll tell you, she has upgraded and uplifted thousands of lives, and yet there's still that little percentage of her that seems that she struggles with getting out of being a victim of her childhood. Have you ever experienced yourself sometimes going back to those early days? Because you have an amazing story of triumph. You lived in an orphanage. You were later adopted, raised in the housing projects of South Boston in a violent alcoholic home. You then later became a Catholic nun, an international airline stewardess, and so much more. Your story is incredible, and I would love for you to share with our audience, what was it that turned it around for you? What, you know, what was it like? Because I'm constantly looking for answers to also help my mother. It's just that little percentage that she just won't let go of, Dorothy. Yeah.
I think for me, the greatest gift I had was faith. Faith that carried me, and it was something I've had since I was extremely little. Faith that I've never walked alone. Faith that always Spirit was with me, that anything was possible because I wasn't alone. Even at moments when I may have felt lonely, I knew I wasn't alone. And that has carried me through so many difficulties in my life. That and a sense of humor. I think humor and faith are two of the most imperative qualities of walking through this journey, because you've got to be able to laugh at your own craziness as well as the craziness of life around us. But having faith that there's a purpose for everything, that we've never walked alone, it has carried me. And I truly thank God every day for it. I don't know what I would have done in my life without that level of complete trust and faith.
Right, right. So what wisdom did you take away from your extraordinary journey up until this point?
What one wisdom, my goodness. There have been so many different elements of wisdom. To put it down into one is that there really is a purpose in this journey. There is a purpose in life. Every one of us came in with an exquisite combination of story and gifts and a particular purpose we're here to live. And that continuously evolves as we evolve. Our purpose expands. It keeps growing as we grow. And if we stay focused on it, we begin to see how huge an impact we can have on this planet as we live our purpose.
Beautiful.
And to me, it's changing the vibration, changing the energy of the world around us.
Beautiful. So the idea of value-driven work seems to be gaining ground a lot today. Could you share what exactly that is, and how do millennials and boomers tend to view this?
I think they are bringing a huge gift to the workforce. There's obviously, there's all kinds of mixed reviews, as there is on everything. But I think the gift is that so many want to do work that has a purpose, work that is making a difference, not just putting in 8 hours a day at a desk, you know, moving papers around. They want to know that they're making a difference on the planet. And that has really shifted and changed. You know, I think it's this 100th monkey syndrome where something changes someplace and it just keeps spreading, especially if it has positive energetic shifts. It keeps spreading. With that, we end up having more and more women in the workplace. We have more women who tend to, and this is a generalization and I know that, but bring more heart and soul, more compassion into the workplace. And you've got millennials that want to make a difference, that want to have an impact. With that, there's this growing energetic shift taking place in organizations that they're now, and it certainly is still just at the beginning stages, but bringing in organizations that really want to look at what is their purpose, which is so dramatically different from the old mission statement and vision statements for companies. What purpose are they achieving? What is the big picture that they are accomplishing and helping to support the planet go forward in a healthy, holy way? And it's just so exciting to see that taking place.
It does. It is. It's quite inspiring because sometimes we feel like our generation have kind of dropped the ball. And when you see these younger folks who are just looking at many, many other elders who are very stuck in tradition, excuse me, or who are just stuck in just an old pattern, it's refreshing when we see them pick up the ball and say, it's this way, it's this way, you know, and
yeah.
It just makes me just feel optimistic about the future. You've said that you learned early that dreams are a necessity, not a luxury. So why is this, and how can dreams actually help us?
Oh, I do believe they are an absolute necessity. My experience as a therapist, as a teacher, and so forth, is that when folks don't have a dream, they are surviving this journey. They are getting up. They are putting in time. They may come home and watch TV or just do whatever they're doing. There isn't any moving towards. They are just getting through. The dream allows you to move towards. You know, I've written several books, and my first two books are about following your dreams and knowing that dreams are only the beginning of your personal growth, because I truly believe that whenever we have a dream, and I believe dreams come from our soul, that it calls us to become the person we are meant to be. So when we follow that dream, even if it is never achieved, that's almost irrelevant. When you have a dream, just say, you know, putting your hand on the desk or a chair for the moment, and you realize you have a dream, you start lifting your hand up. You start going higher and higher. You're a woman or a man who wants to become a teacher. You apply to college. You spend 4 years in college. You become certified. You end up in the classroom. What that dream did to become a teacher caused you to confront so many things about yourself, caused you to develop strengths you didn't know you have, caused you to recognize weaknesses or self-betrayals that may have gotten in your way about it's easy to quit or it's not worth the effort or whatever it was. You worked through that, and now you're in the classroom. And if you discover once you're in the classroom, this is not what you thought it would be, I don't see that at all as you made a mistake. This dream caused you to develop and pursue skills and gifts you never knew, and you've climbed a mountain in the process of doing that. So you're now at the top of this mountain with the vista you never had before, back when your hand was on the desk, if you will. You've climbed this mountain, and you have a vista of what's possible, what you can do now, because you see yourself in the world differently. You are not that 18-year-old that wanted to become a teacher. You're somebody who's 22 or 23 who's developed so much more. And as you follow that next dream, you have to jump off that cliff. You have to go forward, start again, climbing another mountain, becoming so much more. And those dreams continue to cause you to grow and become, so that there's always something you're moving towards. And it isn't just external. There is this inner growth that takes place. There is this transformation, this expansion of who you are, how you see yourself in the world, and a deeper understanding that anything is possible. if you truly focus on it and want to go forward.
Have you ever found that actually that fear of dreaming bigger? You know, like what is it, that energy that holds us back from going, jump, just jump?
Well, there's a fear, what if I fail?
Uh-huh.
What if I, the security I have from where I am right now, I may not like it, but it's secure. There's the fear of what are others going to think if I fail and make a fool out of myself. What if I find out I don't have the gifts and skills or whatever that's needed to accomplish that, and now I have no value and no worth in my life? And we create these stories. We create these stories that make it acceptable to play it safe, to not dream. And eventually, I believe with meditation, and I don't know how you do life without meditation daily, but in meditation, you realize there's this need to keep growing. There's this need to keep becoming more. And as we become more, our dreams become bigger and bigger and bigger. And hopefully not bigger because we want more money or a bigger house and more possessions. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that doesn't fill the soul's needs. So it has to be something that keeps calling us to become more. And you realize eventually there is no limit. There is no limit to what you can dream. There is no limit to what you can become because we're infinitely unlimited.
Yeah, I remembered working with some children that were in dire situations in one of the developing countries that I visited. And I remembered so clearly, Dorothy, looking in their eyes, and I said, no matter what, no one can take away your dreams. You don't have clothes, you don't have shoes, you don't have dignity, but they can't strip you from your dreams, and don't stop dreaming. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. And, you know, like the purpose of leadership in this time, because there is a purpose and there is a power in leadership. Today we're getting a lot of mixed signals and folks are really grappling with their own limitations. You know, sometimes when everyone is doing it wrong, but they're getting ahead and you keep doing it right and everything keeps coming up against you, eventually sometimes you feel, oh, just forget it. Everyone else is doing it. It's the only way you can get ahead. And then we begin to see leadership in the form of bullying or even an emotional form of leadership, which is one of the worst kinds. But could you speak to our audience about what is the purpose and power of leadership? Especially in these
times. To me, the absolute power of leadership, the absolute imperative skill in a leader, is to train other leaders around them. Leadership is about service, whether that is service to your company, service to the people theoretically underneath you, people who are walking this company with you. It could be leadership in a nonprofit. It doesn't matter where the leadership is in your own family. That leadership is about bringing out the best in everybody else. Why you are following a particular dream, a particular purpose, a particular goal of where you're going. And, yeah, there are some right now that are leading from ego. They're leading from greed. They're leading from power over. The fact is, however, when you reach a place where it looks as if all of those with an agenda are the ones who are winning and you're not, at that point in time, when I work with those folks, I work first to take a look and see, are you in some way self-sabotaging yourself? Do you have mindset or communication skills that are really getting in your way from becoming the best you, from moving up the way it is you want to move up? And if you are really looking at any of the ways that are getting in your way, any of the ways that you're creating, not that others are creating, that you're creating that hold you back, any belief systems, any behavior patterns, any communication traits that are holding you back, how can we work to help you eliminate those? Once we do that and people start feeling your leadership, and I think that's a huge difference. People frequently confuse control and power. So if your leadership is coming from a place of control and manipulation, that feels dramatically different than somebody whose leadership comes from a place of power. Powerful people do not control. Powerful people do not manipulate. Powerful people have people follow them because of the presence of leadership that they project. And when that's the case, it's you looking around. When you are in that place, are you now able to succeed where you are? And if you're if you're not sure, what is it you need to do to truly put out your values as much as your skills, differentiate you from the others? If you're within the corporate world, is this the right corporation from you? If by the time you reach that place where you're owning true leadership, which unfortunately is not the norm in many places, if you're holding true leadership, is this really where you belong? And it's then looking at your work environment. But for those folks that I have worked with, when they've learned the difference between control and power or victim and power, it's amazing how they transform the department they're in, and depending on the size of the company itself.
Yes. Women today are becoming more amplified in their role of leadership, and for me, particularly in the presence of their wisdom, strength. I don't think I'll ever forget the way former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton handled the presidential campaign in 2016. And even though no one might have recognized the way she was so poised and dignified amidst the horrid way that she was addressed by another human being, she held her place. Despite whatever happened behind the scenes, whenever she got off the stage, she might have been a wreck. But nonetheless, she held herself. So we find that more and more women are gaining seats at the table. And what are some of those skills that women really need to have developed to be effective leaders for these times?
First off, they need to own that they deserve a seat at the table. Stop asking for it. Recognize you own it, that you deserve to be there. The dignity she brought in her presence when she was on stage, when Hillary was on stage, or what she was doing, whether you agree with her politically or don't, that woman had a presence that said, I know who I am. And that is imperative, that to be able to know who we are, and that not only do we deserve it, but we could take that seat at the table and excel and bring others with us. That I think is one of the most important pieces to get across. And as I work with women who may be in a particular, even CEOs, they have a company that has 100, 300 people in it. They're comfortable at that, but now the company becomes a company with 1,000 people, or there's a merger, they have a few thousand people under them. The hardest part, as I've seen it, is allowing them to increase their energetic footprint, getting them to a place where they see themselves in a much bigger position. They see themselves, and they experience energetically, they get to experience a much bigger footprint on this planet. The sense of false humility that women have been taught to play small, to not think of themselves as capable. It is really owning a much larger footprint. And when they own a much larger footprint, recognizing that being powerful is not playing the game the way they've seen so many people play it. It is not about power over. It is about knowing, having a vision, having a purpose, knowing you're living your purpose, doing it in your power so that you don't go into victim, you don't play good girl. Good girl is such a tool of self-betrayal for so many women. And I've seen this consistently with women who are in the C-suite, senior VPs, women who don't want to be too much, who don't want to be too harsh, who don't want to be too forceful. There are ways to be forceful without being aggressive. There are ways to be powerful without doing power over. And if they could own that, they could give up this consistently self-destructive and power-destructive place of good girl. It does not serve us at all. Powerful woman is never a good girl, and a good girl can never become a powerful woman. They're two very different things.
Wow, Dorothy, so what you're saying is a good girl could never be a powerful woman? Now, that's a deep note to end what my previous question was on. So, because I think I'm a good girl. I really do. So a powerful woman is never a good girl, and a good girl can never be powerful. Wow, that's loaded. So are you saying that perhaps this good girl mentality might be someone who would be into self-sabotaging herself And if so, how?
Well, when you think of a good girl, what defines her as such? It is usually she is living up or down to other people's expectations for her. Because when we get defined as good, it's because we are following all the guidelines, expectations, and rules placed in front of us. If we are intrinsically holy and we are real and we own our power, we will far exceed expectations placed on us by the outside. Mm.
Absolutely.
And so when I choose to be a good girl, it means there's something I want to say right now that could have a powerful impact, but I best not make anybody feel uncomfortable. I best not say anything that could be considered inappropriate. I best not say or do anything that somebody could judge. So I'm going to play it safe and just be a good girl.
You know, can I tell you that I have seen that in Oprah Winfrey, that, you know, on the very many occasions that I've been in her company, she's aware of how powerful she is and what she represents in the world, but she will always come to you. She will embrace you. She will make you feel comfortable because she knows who she is.
Right.
I love that.
That's
a big difference.
Yeah. A powerful woman has nothing to prove. So she doesn't have to say something to drop a bomb and have an impact. She doesn't have to be defensive and aggressive. She just needs to be present. And when you know the difference between what it feels like to be powerful, there is nothing going out against. It is just standing in the presence of.
So you talk about visionary women and the changing face of power in leadership. So share what those changes are that you're seeing.
What I see with the women I work with, and many are C-suite or close to it, or they're the CEOs, the owner of the company, is that there is a greater intuitive, greater heart and soul-based approach to leadership that nurturance or other development is a natural, collaboration is a natural element of many of the women I work with. Even those who have been raised as surgeons and have done many things in the medical world where it's much more masculine and ego-driven once you get into the chief surgeons and all of that, there is still a heart and desire to have an impact on the transformation of their patients, not just heal their patients, what the healing and transformation of their patients. So whether we're talking business or we're talking medicine or we're talking politics, there is a focus on the other.
Mm-hmm.
There is a desire for peace. There is a desire for collaboration. And there is a shift coming. I think when you look at more and more companies now are becoming purpose-driven. And certainly even a purpose-driven company needs profit. A company has to make profit if it's going to continue. But when the driving force is purpose rather than profit, we find statistically they're making far more percentages of profit because they are purpose-driven. There's greater investment by the employees. The people who are working there believe in the purpose of the organization. And I think women are bringing that shift in. Millennials are helping that shift as well.
That's true. That's true. I'll agree with that 100%. Now, let's just say there are some of us who are a little bit older than the millennials, so to speak, and we haven't acclimated ourselves to that speed of transformation that we see the younger generation so comfortable in. So the older generation tends to get stuck. They're not very comfortable with the current energy that's moving forward. And there's a lot of security with the old traditional ways, which sometimes to me is serving some of the ego, subtle ego forms, but also certain values. So put all of that together. When we sometimes get stuck or consumed consumed with fear about certain situations or developments in our lives. Is there a way that we can turn that fear around and use it to move us forward?
Oh, I think so completely. And this to me goes back to our faith. When we walk in faith, when we have a daily practice of meditation or mindfulness or reflection, whatever word is appropriate for somebody, we take the time out of the outside world and come into the inner world. And in doing so, recognize a balance and a strength we may have forgotten in the hectic pace of the outside world. That balance and that strength supports us in seeing that what appears to be this very rapid transformation is really spirit and force. And I truly believe, being of the slightly older generation, that the wisdom we bring and the balance we can bring, but only if we have it, the wisdom we can bring and the balance we can bring really helps guide, if not direct, the rapid transformation that's taking place.
I love that. Dr. Dorothy A. Martin Neville, you're a genius. And I just want to thank you for the time that we've spent, because it's been extremely rich, been eye-opening, and it's been true. And I just really want to extend my deepest appreciation for what you've gifted us with. Please leave us with a website that we can get more information on you. And please, if you ever come to Washington, D.C., we have to host you at the Meditation Museum.
I would absolutely love it. Thank you.
Great.
We could even arrange a time. I would be there in a moment. You're just a train ride away. My website is askdrdorothy.com, askdrdorothy, DORothy.com.
That's absolutely perfect.
I was going to say my phone number is 860-543-5629.
Now, you don't want the whole world calling on your private line, do you?
Oh, the whole world can call me on my private line.
All right.
Lucky there, it will guide the right one. Yes.
There you go. Well, thank you so very much, and many, many blessings. And I'll definitely fulfill my wish of my invitation for you.
Thank you so much. All righty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just loved so much of what Dr. Neville has left us with. There are so many nuggets and so many jewels. And I think that we can take so much from this conversation, and I hope you did too, as I. I can't end the show without Sister Gita coming on and giving us one of her special readings. Let's hear what Sister Gita has for us today. Sister Gita?
A precious day to all of us. In the greetings of Om Shanti. Om Shanti, the soul knows, means I am a being of peace. Yes, the drama of life. We are all actors. We started out totally pure, peaceful, loving, blissful, truth, contented, all of these things. And the acquired qualities of anger, lust, greed, attachment has created an incredible drama in our life. Every passing moment is like a passing act in a play. We, each of us, are the actors playing our parts very well. An actor is never focused on another actor's part, continually criticizing it. He just gets on with his own part, playing it best as he can. This drama of life is eternal, predestined, and accurate. Whatever anybody else says and does is their role, not mine. My task is to play my part right. Right thoughts restore rightness to the whole play. Practice detaching yourself from your role and experiencing the truth behind the role. And you will find yourself loving every instant of your role and the drama too. And the question, why has this happened, will be answered. Om Shanti. Remember, you're an actor. Everyone around you is an actor playing their part. Be the observer and play your part as best as you can Let everyone play their part. Have a drama-like day, actors and actresses of the world. Om Shanti.
Thank you so much, Sister Gita. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's continue to do that. Our good wishes and pure feelings continue to go out to Aretha Franklin's family. And may she always be the light that she was and continuing her journey. I want to do a special song for the family. And I think nothing speaks better than thank you from Paul Leftenegger in Canada. Take care, everyone.
And if you're listening to this song, I want to thank you for coming along and being all the love that you are.